Welcome, Knicks fans, to episode 46 of the Worldwide Knicks Podcast. Another week, and Alex is still out, man. It's just another two-man show, Omar and Rafa. Alex actually had a little bit of car trouble today. Two of his tires blew out, so he is setting up a GoFundMe. So if anybody wants to contribute to the GoFundMe, get Alex some new tires. You know, the goal is 300 pounds. So that's how much it costs, according to Alex. And so that's what's going on there. What's going on with you, Rafa?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not thinking about the Knicks, but other than that, I'm doing good. Just I was mentioning to you that Alex understand now what it is to play with Fournier and Kemba on defense with two flat tires. I see it the same way. There you go.
That is newly minted Dallas Maverick Kemba Walker, by the way. So, you know, Kemba just signed with the Mavs. Well,
Dallas Knicks.
Right. I asked a friend of mine who's a Mavs fan how he feels about that. He's like, man, we don't need no Kemba Walker. Like, what are we doing here? And I was like, I don't know. You know, see what he has. They're kind of slumping a little bit right now. You know, it's low risk. I mean, same thing that we said last year, right? Low risk, high reward. You know, maybe it works out for like 10, 15 minutes off the bench in Dallas. And
if he can eat threes, that's it. Because he's not going to take the ball out of Doncic. It's not what they need, so.
No, I mean, I feel like they probably want him to do like the Brunson-like role, right, from last year. You know, kind of a little bit of creation, but mostly off the ball.
I think the creation part of Kemba Walker is over. Well, his best years are behind him. But I was going to say that I appreciate that the Dallas Mavericks are just putting Doncic in a situation like he's like, okay, I'm done. I understand pain. I know how dysfunctional an organization can be. Let's go to the Knicks. This is the goal they're doing.
That's the master plan.
Yes.
So yeah,
there you go.
You know, last week you and I were apparently a little too optimistic. You know, I was a crazy person and predicted 3-0, and you were a little bit more measured and predicted 2-1. The team ended up going 1-2 with a revenge win against the Thunder, which was a fun game. I'll tell you what, man, we played them twice this year, and both games have been pretty fun. A lot of scoring, a lot of threes, a lot of exciting plays. So, you know, I feel like that's a good matchup to watch.
Not a
in
lot
the future.
Of defense.
No defense in those games against the Thunder. Yeah. Definitely no defense. And then losses against Damian Lillard-less Blazers and Ja Morant and the Grizzlies last night, which is why we're recording on a Monday since the Knicks had a Sunday evening game against Memphis. 1-2 on the week. Again, underwhelming. A lot of the same themes from these past few weeks. Not making shots, allowing the three from the other opposing teams, role players, seeing threes go in from Memphis. You know, no Desmond Bain, who's obviously their best three-point shooter. You know, we were seeing threes in overtime from Anthony Simons, from the Blazers. You know, so a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of these guys just, you know, they're torching the Knicks, hitting threes on them, and another kind of mediocre week. So it brings me to our first kind of topic of this week, Rafa, which is being stuck in the middle. You know, the worst thing you can be in the NBA is middle of the pack, right? You're either competing for championships or you're tanking to get the next superstar. You know, so you're either like the Celtics or the Pistons, right? You know, you're one of those two teams. And if you're in the middle, like the Pacers were like that for a long time, the Chicago Bulls are kind of like that right now, where they're kind of stuck in purgatory, where you're not really competing for a championship, but you're not bad enough to get the players. So a lot of people are now suggesting this is the Knicks' new reality, that they're an average team that's committed to just kind of good players, not great players, and they're not going to go anywhere and have no prospects for the future. So my question to you is, do you think that's accurate?
I think it is. But I also think that looking at our roster, how young we are, I don't think we are in the same situation like Chicago. It's like Chicago, their best players are over 30. Well, their best player is over 30. So it's a different situation that they have there than what we have. Like, RJ is young, Randall is, and Brunson are young ish. Like, so RJ, Grimes, Mitch, they're all younger players. So there's room to develop. There's room for, well, trades to happen. If we are like this, being a young team, even if we are, considering our history since Patrick Ewing left, is it a bad thing to be, for the Knicks to be a consistent playoff team for like 5-6 years with the young team and then take the leap? Is it that disastrous? Is it not the way to build a team, like consistent winning basketball, like above 500 team? It's more exciting than tanking every 2 years because we didn't get the player. We don't get the guy that's him. I mean, it's a different way of seeing things. It's RJ is not 29. Grimes is not 31. Like, they're not young players that, okay, this is what we have. That no one's going to pick them up for a young stud. Well, maybe we can get these young guys and trade them. We have all the picks. We have all the young players. Randall can be a possibility to trade for someone else, like in a three-team deal. I think it's very possible. Fournier's the money situation. So I think we're still in a good spot, considering we are a 500 team. Our record shows it. Our play shows it. We are a 500 team. We play against the Thunder pretty well. We play sloppy basketball at best with the Blazers. And then we play. It was a pretty entertaining game last night against the Grizzlies. We lost, but it was an entertaining game. Like, it was like back and forth. So against the Grizzlies, everybody's tipping as one of the, well, the favorites to go into the conference finals, the West. So it's not bad. But then we play against the Pistons and we get destroyed. It's us. It's where we at. What we are.
Hey, but, by the way, I will be at that game tomorrow because it's here in Detroit. I'm going to be there.
Look at you. But yeah, I mean, is it that bad that we are a young team, a young team with a smack down in the middle? Like, Bulls will go away. Other teams will just keep on going down and we can improve or in trade, like I mentioned. So I'm not that bothered looking at our history.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's still early in the season. You know, it's not like everything's kind of etched in stone. But you do kind of have to wonder, like, okay, well, what's the next move here? You know, what is the situation that is going to get this team into the next level, right? And you're looking for superstar trades. You're looking for all this other stuff. But yeah, the way I look at it is we're not really in a position to be mad, super mad about 500 basketball. You know, a lot of Knicks fans are, though. They're like, well, this team's going nowhere. What's the point? As if we were like championship or bust, you know, like we're the Lakers, you know, during, you know, Kobe's prime, or where, you know, these teams that are like Boston right now is championship or bust. Philly is championship or bust. You know, these teams have these sort of players. And granted, we don't have that caliber of player, but to your point, the oldest player on this roster is Derrick Rose, and his role has been reduced. The next oldest player on the roster that gets minutes is Evan Fournier, and he no longer gets those minutes. So it's not like we got to get these veterans. You know, the Knicks weren't out there trying to get PJ Tucker, you know, for example. We were talking about him earlier today. And, you know, they're playing Cam, they're playing Grimes, they're playing McBride has been seeing minutes lately, which I thought was fascinating. I think they're dedicated to kind of like a youth movement right now. Like, yeah, you still have Randall getting big minutes, you know, and obviously Brunson's your lead guy. But it does, like when we were playing OKC the other night, I was like, I mean, are we really that different than them right now? Like, Brunson is our SGA in a way, you know, that we acquired, and, you know, they're playing guys like Aaron Wiggins and Robinson Earl, and these guys, those are kind of like our Reddish and Grimes and Toppin, you know. And I just feel like it's too soon to say that we're like Orlando Magic from like a decade ago, levels, or Indiana Pacers when they were just making the seven seed every year and getting gentlemen swept out of the first round every single year. Like, I think we've all noticed that Jalen Brunson has the goods, right? Like, he is showing that he could take on a bigger workload, still get buckets, and still put teams in a position to win a game, right? We don't know what RJ is going to become yet because he's still super young. We understand Randall isn't a superstar lead player, but can be a very high-functioning complementary piece. And we like what we see from Grimes and Reddish and at times Toppin. Even guys like Jericho Sims have been playing really well, you know, and I don't think we're in purgatory quite yet. If all these guys were 30, yes, we're in purgatory. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, if we had traded for Terrence Ross, you know, that kind of thing, and that sort of a situation, like, that would be a different type of scenario. But as it stands right now, like, you look at us, we're one or two games below 500. The Timberwolves, who just paid big money for Rudy Gobert and got rid of a lot of assets, they're 10 and 10. You know, they're right there with us, you know, and
look at the Bulls. I mentioned the Bulls. The Bulls are 8 and 11.
Like, yeah, and with DeRozan, Vucevic, a disgruntled Zach LaVine.
They paid Alex Caruso. Like, it's not the same thing. It's even the Wizards, they're 10 and 10. What are the Wizards going to win with Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis?
Probably not.
I mean, it's no, you know, but they want to make the playoffs.
A great line about the Bulls on Twitter, I think a few days ago, was CP the Franchise from Knicks Fan TV. He's like, doesn't surprise me about the Bulls being kind of chaotic and all this, because they doubled down on mid, is what he said. And I was just like, oh, that's a great way to put it. They just doubled down on being average, you know? And
absolutely.
Yeah. So
and people were mad that we didn't sign DeRozan. This is what I thought it was going to happen. Like, DeRozan was, how many years was he in with the Spurs? 3, 4? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. What did they do with him as the best player?
I mean, they were kind of in the play-in conversation, you know, low seed in the playoffs.
DeRozan is 31 or 32, so he's done. LaVine is almost, well, what, 26, 27 already? So mm-hmm. It's like a different thing. We're not in as a bad position as those teams. Like,
here's another thing. We have not leveraged or mortgaged draft capital to make this team what it is. Like, yes, people point to getting off of Kemba Walker and shedding some protected picks to do so, but we still have all of our first round picks. We're one of the top teams in terms of future first round picks in the next decade. So we haven't completely mortgaged our future just to have Julius Randle and these guys. Yeah, you got to use the picks.
We do need
right?
to use them.
You got to use the picks, you know, that's whether it be in trade or picking players, you know, and that's what this front office needs to do.
But I'm afraid that the front office feels like they need to, when they do trade, that we'll use those picks for a big trade. They want to make a big trade. They're too scared of doing not a mid-level trade. That's not a superstar or a star trade. Like doing still a 500, not a 500 team, but a playoff team still, instead of going that leap into a contender. They're too tentative to pull the trigger. Like, should we not? Like, are we there yet? And I hope that they don't wait too long.
So here is the question then. Who is this target that they will go after? What does that trade look like that's going to move the needle? If you look around the NBA right now, Rafa, who do you see as maybe somebody that, if they got disgruntled, that the Knicks should go after?
I have no idea. Like,
yeah,
who's going to be available? Who are we looking at? We didn't trade 3 first rounders in RJ and Grimes with Fournier to cap for Donovan Mitchell. Are we going to trade all those with like 5 or 6 or whatever many picks for a guy like Doncic, for example? Let's just I mean who are we getting? Mm-hmm. But what's the plan? Is Doncic coming? Imagine it's keeping Doncic, because imagine Doncic, Brunson again, and Randall. Mm-hmm. Is that a winner? I don't think it is.
I mean,
a very good team.
Take out Randall, Brunson, and Doncic got to the conference finals last year. So You know, it's not like
Yeah,
that,
but I mean,
that
it's like,
wasn't successful, right?
yeah, but it's like, I don't like when players like it happened with Melo, and I never liked it. Like, Melo had always the same partners around him, J.R. Smith, Chauncey Billups, for it was always the same players. Like, if
Yeah,
it doesn't
LeBron
work on a
did that as
team,
well over the years. He's always had the same role players around him.
well, but it role players, like some players that are James Jones was always there, or whatever his name is,
Shane Battier
like.
was always there, you know, those type of guys.
That's a different role. Like, he needed more out of J.R. Smith, out of Billups, all the same players around him. Like, it now it's if it didn't work in Denver, why would it years later work with the Knicks, for example?
No, I
Just
get what you're saying.
like,
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
yeah, but the same players, like, if it didn't work, let's not try it again. But I don't know, who are we trading for? Who's there going to be available? What does Wendell Starr want to come to the Knicks? What do you want, a 32-year-old or 33-year-old? I don't think that's the
Like, is the
move.
idea that they just go and get like Paul George, you know, and become win now? I mean, that's gonna keep you mediocre, you know what I mean? I love PG, but at the same time, you know, PG has a ceiling, right? So you look like the players that I think that they would even be considering moving for, like that I look around the league, aren't really your needle movers. Like, they want a Zion, obviously, right? They want a Jokic or an Embiid or a Doncic, to your point earlier. I mean, to me right now, you look around the West, DeAndre Ayton seems likely. You know, I think he's not super happy in Phoenix because of the way his contract was handled, but he doesn't move the needle. Like, humor me on the Ayton thing real quick. Like, assuming
Yeah,
you would have to give
again.
up a couple of your young guys and a few picks to get him, right? You know, so like a Brunson Ayton 1-2 punch, what does that really get you? You know, in the East, did it get you middle of the pack, like 5-6 seed, if that? You know, and then you're back at
Yeah.
square one. You know, you look throughout the rest of the league, you know, there's the
You
AD
mentioned.
conversation, you know, which I don't know. Yeah, I have my feelings on AD, but he just can't stay healthy. You know, that's.
Yeah. And the AD trade only makes sense if it's the way you have to move players, like a big contract. So you imagine Fournier and Randle, and get AD back like for 1 or 2 years. I don't know
Man,
which what.
I mentioned this guy last week or the week before. I'll mention him
Yeah.
again. Jaylen Brown seems to be the guy that you would go after, you know, and
Why would he leave?
that's the thing, you know, unless he really wants to be the guy, right? So that's the only, because if he's the only way he would want to leave is if he says, all right, yeah, cool, I'm competing for titles here in Boston, but I'm tired of being in Jason's shadow. Let me go ahead and, you know, go somewhere else. That's the only player that I look like. You look up and down these rosters, the Cavs aren't letting any of their guys go. The Bucks aren't getting rid of Giannis or Middleton. You know, you go up and down the list. You know, the Hawks have Trey and DeJounte. They're not going anywhere. You know, it's just a whole bunch of players that we can't get. Well, we could go after Pascal Siakam in Toronto. Like, is
Why?
that, yeah, is that doesn't do it either. So,
Zach LaVine? Like, no,
yeah. It
please,
goes back to
no.
this thing where you have to find the guy, and because he's just not going to magically appear, you know, unless somebody indicates they want out. And so I guess my thing is, like, I don't think we're there yet. I think we're trending that way, and they're going to need to do something with these draft picks, you know,
Yeah,
whether
absolutely.
it's acquiring. Again, if you really think Brunson is that dude, right? You know, you, because that's why you signed him, right? You needed a point guard. That's what you did. You really think he's that guy? Then what you should be looking for then is your Jrue Holiday, right? When the Bucks did that to pair with Giannis, right? Or your Chris Middleton in that case. So that's who they should be trying to trade for. We obviously are just two fans commenting on the team. We don't know who that player might be, but
Of course not, no.
yeah, that's where they need to go, you know, I think. If they think Brunson's that guy, you know, if they don't, then what are you doing?
Maybe it's on the team. You don't know. We don't if RJ can become back. Grimes is going to take that leap. It doesn't look like that. None of the guys look like that
I
right now.
think
Like,
eventually we're going to need to do an hour long of me apologizing to Cam Reddish because.
oh, I want to hear that. I defended him right here
You're
with
right. Yeah,
against
I
you
mean,
and Alex.
I admit that I, you know, so far he's proven me incredibly wrong. like he shows you some flashes, man, that you're just like, man, that's some good, like with he did the one Eurostep move yesterday. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, like the things this guy could do. So I think, yeah. What if he's the guy? You know, that's
yeah. What if, I mean, I have seen this around Twitter, and I don't know if it's it would be the move, but imagine if, because I've seen some flashes with RJ and Cam, some nice combinations, sometimes nice moves moving out of each other. Like I see something potentially there. I think it would be a little bit maybe too late to trade Randle in a way in let us run with RJ and Cam, because Grimes is there as well, and Grimes is, I like the move. Again, when though I would love to see Grimes and minutes Grimes and Cam as well a little bit, because I like the way Grimes is moving around the team as well. He's moving, he's not only a spot up shooter, so I like that dynamic, and wings are the way to go. I wouldn't be mad if we like, okay, we have Brunson, let's get two wings and move forward. These two guys will, or we move the three around, like the one off the bench, just because I think Cam is really selling into that role off the bench, but playing big minutes and it matters. I'm not against it, but I mean, I don't know if any of them will be the Robin to Brunson as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last night RJ showed a few flashes of being that, like having a few good moments, a few good runs, and going back to Brunson, but he's been all over the place this year. So
yeah, and you know, obviously we'll see where we're going with that, but shifting into the here and now as opposed to the future, let's talk a little bit about
talk about the future, it's better.
Let's talk a little bit about the three-point shot, you know, the most important shot in today's NBA. So it's no mystery that the Knicks struggle to defend the three. We talked about this for many weeks now. They're middle of the pack, 14th in the league in three-point defense. But what they're actually even worse at is making threes, where we are the worst three-point shooting team in the association, 31.7% on the year, which is dead last, just behind the LA Lakers and the Charlotte Hornets. You look at the Lakers, who they have on their team. They have Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley on that roster who cannot hit threes. Anthony Davis has forgotten how to hit threes as well. So, first of all, I guess, do you think this can be fixed?
Well, the shots we take, well, I say this a lot, but like most of those shots are in and out, like good looks, just doesn't go in. It's like not like they're missing with air balls or throwing up bricks. It's like in and out, so the ball doesn't. RJ, Randle, Brunson, Grimes is a little rusty, I can get that, but quickly is another slump from three. Obi has lost his touch. Yesterday's threes, well, he missed well. But yeah, everybody's missing, which is ridiculous. It's like there's no one you can trust to hit a three-point shot. It's absolutely disastrous. Like, how the hell are we such a bad team from three? I mean, it's people are shooting 20%. Like, it's not, one guy is shooting poorly from three. No, we all are. Quickly, this shot from three. No, he doesn't hit a three. Like, Brunson hits a couple of them, not too many. RJ, Randle, Grimes, Cam, like, Rose. Has Rose hit a three this year?
Yeah, he's hit a few.
Don't remember. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, the ball will eventually go in. I hope we could play against each other, against ourselves, so we can hit a few threes and get the confidence going. Like, it would be a mirror match. It would be amazing. Seeing the Sims hitting three threes and Mitch the four threes, because it was against ourselves. But I mean, the shot, I know it will fall. Like, eventually the shots will start to fall. It happened last year quickly, had a slump like this. RJ, 23 consecutive missed threes, ridiculous. And so the shot will eventually fall. I'm not too concerned about it. I am concerned about defense because it's, again, it's not a new thing. We've been talking this year. Last year, it was an issue as well. So,
yeah, the issue becomes is that it's this defensive design where, like, all right, we're going to let a Aldana, a Aaron Wiggins, those type of players beat us and try and contain the other guy. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
The other guy's still getting his. Like, Morant's still dropping points on us. Shea torched us in both games that we played them this year. You know, it's like, but the thing about the three-point shooting aspect, which is kind of crazy to me. So I'm on NBA's advanced stats right now. And we have a bunch of players who shoot under 35% on three-pointers with 4 to 6 feet of closest defenders, which is considered an open shot. You know, like Julius at 35.7, Brunson 29%. These are on open threes. Barrett 17% on open threes this year. You know, like Cam 31%. Evan Fournier supposed to be a good 3-point shooter, 26% open threes. So like,
that's why he lost his spot.
Yeah, it's like an anomaly. Like these are professionals who should be hitting these shots, and they're just not going in. And I think to me that's the real issue, man. It's like, how do you fix this? And I just wonder.
This is bad luck.
Yeah, there's an element to that, bad luck. Right? Yeah, just it's just not going in, you know. And it's just like I look at it as like, well, maybe it's a little like how they're getting the shots. Are they catching these balls in rhythm? Or, you know, why aren't these going in type of thing? And I think that's really, this is the root of their problem. You are in a league right now that demands you to hit 3-point shots. And if you don't hit 3-point shots, you're not going to win basketball games. And as a result, they really just have not been winning games, you know? And like, you look at the teams at the bottom of this list, Charlotte, Lakers, you know, these are teams that are not winning right now. They're pretty mediocre, you know? And it's just like, you have to be able to, and who's at the top? You know, Boston, Denver, Cleveland, Golden State, New Orleans, you know, teams that are probably making the playoffs this year, you know? So it's really a simple equation, Rafa. If you don't hit threes, you will not win in this league anymore. It's not the 90s anymore.
That doesn't help at all our team. Like, look, RJ is shooting poorly, but he has some struggles on the inside as well. What's his strong, well, offensively, look at RJ Barrett. What is he most capable to do on offense? Attack the paint, right? Yeah. It's attack the paint. Like, oh, he makes bad decisions. He's a tunnel vision, this and that. He kicks out, nobody hits a shot. If he kicks out, nobody has a shot. If Randall kicks out, nobody's hitting a shot. Brunson kicks out, nobody makes a damn shot. Like, if they know the guys outside don't make shots, they will cover the paint. And, okay, let the 15% shooter shoot, and they will miss. That's why we lose. Look, you just said, oh, Morant and Shea still get their points against us. Yeah, we try to close out Morant. But Morant, for example, against the Grizzlies, Morant kicks out, guys hit shots. If those guys are hitting shots, we have to alleviate our defense on Morant. We have to, okay, instead of getting Morant so closely, we need to give him a little space because we have to defend a three-point shot that is falling from Brooks was hitting shots and whoever else was hitting shots. You have to defend those shots, and if you have to defend those shots, Morant or Shea from the Thunder, they get more space to attack the paint. Look at the game against the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell had scored 30 on us, yes, because we had to let go of him because Kevin Love and Bootleg Wade were hitting every shot. So we needed to diversify our defense. I will always call him Bootleg Wade. Sorry, it's like,
I'm sorry, that's hilarious. I don't know.
I'm sorry, man. No. No, I'm trying to be disrespectful, but
man,
yeah.
I was not prepared for Bootleg Wade.
I'm sorry, but is it our defensive scheme doesn't help because other teams are capable 3-point shooters and we are not, so that doesn't help our guys that attack the paint. because they will just swarm the paint because no one from the outside will hit a shot.
Well, here's the crazy thing, Rafa. Consider the three guys you have paid the most money to. Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle. All three of them, it's not just RJ. All three of them do best when they're in the paint. Like, Jalen Brunson is the best paint scorer under 6'2 in the league. Like, he's like right there. Julius Randle is a physical specimen who could get inside whatever the fuck he wants, right? And RJ excels when just putting his head down and taking it to the rack. So the idea is you have these three guys, so you need to surround these guys with shooters, you know, and these shooters, you know, like, who are our shooters? Our shooters are what, Obi Toppin, Quentin Grimes, Cam Reddish? You know, because, like, Hartenstein hasn't really been taking threes. Rose has been spotty with it.
Quickly doesn't hit a shot.
Like, Quickly's super hot and cold, and he's not getting his off of catch and shoot. He's getting his off of breaking down the defense, sidestep, step back, shoot it, and if it goes in, it goes in. So that's the issue. Like, it kind of makes you wonder, it's like, well, is this like, is it coaching? Is this roster construction? You know, part of me looks like it's a little bit of roster construction, you know, because you have these three guys who want to get into the paint. Oh, on top of that, your center is a rim runner who lives in the paint. So you have your starting lineup, four guys who want to be in the paint, you know, and that's not 2022 NBA. You know,
it's not.
That could have flown that flew in the 90s. That flew in the early 2000s, even when, like, mid-range was king and stuff like that. But we're in the spacing league, and you have to be able. And I think that's why so often you see, like, Randle kind of off to the side, RJ off in the corner, you know, because that's just how the league dictates it right now. So, you know, I think the thing is, the immediate solution is you have to figure out a way to get multiple shooters on the court at the same time, one. And then you also need to kind of scheme a way to get these guys open. And in fairness, the looks have been there. Like, I've seen quite a few times where, you know, Obi's getting a good look, Brunson getting a good look off a switch, RJ getting a good look in the corner. They just haven't been falling. While I know it is cause for concern, like, I think if we could get this team to around 35% from three. So right now they're 31, almost 32%. 35 puts you dead in the middle. I mean, you shoot 30, that little bit of additional percentage points, there's a couple games we probably win that we lost earlier this year. So I'm hoping that is something that they're consistently working on. As it stands, like, we're going to continue to have these frustrating losses where we're watching this team shoot 30% or lower from three. I mean, and allowing the opposing teams to, you know, shoot the lights out. Like that Cavs game that you mentioned, you know, we got them later this week. You know, we'll see how that's going to go. Like the first Oklahoma City game where they're hitting everything, you know, and, you know, I would just like for us to be able to hit everything for once. That's all I'm saying. You know, just let me have that, right?
That doesn't happen. But
exactly.
Again, it's like if the three-point shot is falling, we play a different brand of basketball. Everything changes, like the way we play. We're not getting that. And we were talking about this before we started recording. We are a 500 team with struggles from the three-point line. We could have been a much better team. We won a couple of games here and there if we hit our threes.
Yep.
Because the teams would have to play a different style of defense against us. If they park on the paint, and we can score. It's frustrating, but I think it's something that will turn around. Like, I was looking at the stats. Randle is right on his season averages, career averages, but RJ, Quickly, and Brunson are down. So Fournier is down, but he's an even playing. And even them, and Fournier, the guy that breaks the record last year, can't hit a three this year and gets dropped out of the rotation. He was your best three-point shooter. Grimes is still rusty. Probably will get in rhythm and hit a couple threes. Like, well, hope they get into rhythm, all of them. Hope, because it would help a lot. like going against at the half against Memphis, we were 3 of 20 or something like that, 3 of 21 or whatever at the half or the third quarter, like 3 threes. It's ridiculous. Who wins in this league with 3 threes?
Nobody is the answer to that question. Yeah. So kind of wanted to close this episode. You know, as we know, each one of the guys on the pod here has their guy. So it's time for Rafa to kind of give a State of the Union address to RJ Nation. You know, RJ Barrett has been struggling a lot lately. You know what's, you know me, Ralph, I don't run too hot when it comes to these games, you know, like when I'm watching them, you know, like I'll get too over dramatic or whatever. But, you know, there is like a few times this past week or two, you know, RJ open look, brick, RJ into the paint, Obi wide open in the corner, doesn't see him, takes a bad shot. And I just found myself getting frustrated with his play lately. And I know he wants to be great. That's his problem. Like, he wants to be great. And he knows he can do this. So he's like pressing and pressing. Shots aren't falling. Layups are missing. So obviously we just signed him to an extension in the offseason. Do you think that we should be worried right now about RJ Barrett and where he's at right now?
Well, you know, as you said, I'm an optimist according to when it comes to RJ Barrett. So
yeah,
I'm saying we're not supposed to be worried, but we should check our expectations at the door, maybe see what our expectations are for him and what we expect of him. Like the game against Memphis, it's impossible. People will look at him and say, hey, he was drafted third right after Ja Morant, and he can do what Ja can't. It's clear that he can't. He's not doing that. He showed flashes, especially last year, the end of last year. He played amazingly, and maybe
let me stop you right there. Like, for you, yeah, as somebody who is a RJ fan, like RJ's your guy. What do you view as his ceiling? Like, what player do you see in the league right now? Like, he can become that. Like, that's who he is.
If he became a guy like Paul George, yep, I wouldn't be mad. I think he's the best comparison, a guy like Paul George. Okay. I think that his body change, I mentioned this before in the pod and even on Twitter, his body change for this year, get him a little bit more bulky, did not help him. It would help if probably you would play them at the three. But if you're still playing him at the two, the guys are faster than him, so he gets blown by more rapidly, and clearly he gets frustrated. I think that's the key issue with RJ, is he gets frustrated, and if his offensive game isn't falling, you will see a decline on his defensive game as well, because he gets frustrated and demoralized. I think that's where he needs to work. He says all the right things. When people interview him and talk to him, he says all the right things. But he needs to show that on the court. He wants to be great. He wants to do always help. If he really played while he was sick, it shows that he's a hard worker. And he's a worker. We've always saying that we have a group of guys that are hard workers with the Knicks. How more New York you want it to be. Guys hardworking, fighting for their chances, their spots. RJ, well, he has been unlucky this year. It's not only unlucky. I think he's been, his frustrations as well, not shots not falling, and don't help him. Probably all the trade talk as well. I don't buy it. It doesn't affect players in one way or another. I think it does, but players need to work around it. It's part of the game. There will always be conversations surrounding it. We don't know if it's true or not. I think it's a job you need to do on yourself, because I think you need a good support group around you. So to be able to do that, if he's a guy like Paul George, it's the second best player we had this century. It's painful because it's the Knicks and we were struggled for so long, but we have a guy here. It was ours, and we can show the league we're doing things differently, staying with our guy until he wants to leave because he wants a bigger role or whatever. I'm not concerned because I was mentioning last year's finish where he had a multiple 30-point games and he was playing better, much better offensively, and everything he put up fall, it was amazing. It was like, okay, this year RJ will bring this into the team and will come out guns blazing, and he didn't. And yeah, the first game against the Grizzlies, he didn't play very well. The preseason was pretty good. Shots were falling, 3-point shots were falling. So, okay, RJ is here. Then the game started, he started struggling a bit. And then he had a 30-point game. And then he got sick, apparently, and played like absolute crap. And now he's been playing, he had 25 against the Thunder, 19 against the Blazers, now in 22 or 23 last night. So he's been showing some improvement again, but it's not the improvement people want him. It's like with RJ, it's expectations. He was a number 3 pick. Right. He was not Zion Williamson. It's a big problem. He was not Zion, the guy people wanted. And he was our consolation prize, so to say. So, but people expect him to be great because he was hyped to be great from college and everything. So, again, I am not worried because I know where my expectations are with him. I don't expect him to be the LeBron James of New York or the Michael Jordan of New York, like Maple Mamba. Well, maybe he can be, but the Maple George Mamba, like it's. Paul George torched a couple of times, so would I be mad at that? I wouldn't. That's why I'm not concerned about him, even if he struggles a bit.
You know, you talked about expectations, and we've said it many times before. A lot of times, Knicks fans get frustrated by RJ, not because of what he is or who he is, but who he isn't. And he's not Zion. He's not Ja. He's not Garland, right? They're looking at those. And I mean, as we look back on that draft, we're going to see those three guys and be like, wow, how loaded was the top five of that draft, you know? And because RJ hasn't reached the heights that those guys have reached, you know, you look at Zion, unguardable, you know, like when he's healthy, unguardable. Ja, he's the second coming of Rose and Westbrook, you know, and Garland, who looks like one of the next great point guard, one of the next great point guards in this league, especially on the shorter side of things, right? And then you look at RJ, you know, quiet RJ, 20 points a game RJ, you know, like he doesn't jump off the page type thing. And, you know, you mentioned PG as being like the ceiling. I definitely agree with that. But I also wonder, is the floor Harrison Barnes? When it comes to RJ's potential, like, is the worst thing he could be is a guy like Harrison Barnes, you know, like you guy could give you between 15 and 20, hit between 35 to 40% from three, never be the main guy, but also be a good enough player to be considered a winning player. You know, like Harrison Barnes, obviously with the Warriors, he had a very minute role, but as he went to Dallas and eventually Sacramento, you know, he kind of became that third scoring option. And would we be really so mad if that's what he was, right? So I kind of, I look at that's the range.
I would think about fellow Canadian, Andrew Wiggins. Like
yeah,
he,
similar, yeah.
Again, high expectations on Wiggins. And he never lived up to those expectations of being a superstar. But he's a champion. He's a pretty good champion at that.
Is that bad, I guess, is my point. Are we mad if he's not, Andrew Wiggins, you know?
It's not, but it's like it's a thing. Andrew Wiggins or Harrison Barnes or even Paul George, to be honest, aren't winning championships as the best team, as the best player on their teams. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. They want RJ Barrett to be the best guy out there. But again, I said it last week, Garland had a chance, a bit of a chance, but Zion and Ja Morant to do, and even Shea with the Thunder, like, have the ball. We only have one. It's yours. Do whatever you want. because Ja Morant, you saw it last night. He did a couple of boneheaded moves as well. Like, what the hell are you doing, Morant? Like, the guy was open right there from your team. It was from your team. Well, screen pains, and RJ never really got that because he entered the league struggling, and then Fizdale and shit. So he never got that either. I think it's too late to do that. Well, it's it. He has to adjust. He has to adapt, and he needs to focus and stay focused and stay motivated. Even if his shot's not falling, the other team's shot must not fall as well. That's when he needs to focus.
The thing is, like, people are like, oh, we spent a top three pick on him, right? Have you ever taken a look to see some of the guys have been drafted with the number three overall pick, like, in the last 25 years?
Yeah.
Rafe LaFrance, yeah. Darius Miles, who did nothing. It's so weird. You look like, oh, well, there's Darius Miles, but then Pau Gasol was also drafted three. But then you got Mike Dunleavy. But then you got Carmelo Anthony. But then you got Ben Gordon. Oh, but then you got James Harden. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's a weird spot in the draft, in the number three spot, where a guy could be like a serviceable NBA player or he could be a superstar. Like Luka and Jason Tatum were drafted three, but so was Otto Porter Jr. and Jahlil Okafor. You know, it is just like.
Can I ask you? Let me just ask you a question.
All right.
From that draft, the 2019 draft, if you didn't pick, you couldn't pick Zion, Ja Morant, or Darius Garland. Who are you picking? Garland, Morant, and Williamson are out.
I mean, because of the college pedigree, you would take RJ. If you wanted to go upside, you probably would have went DeAndre Hunter because of the defense. But yeah, it's RJ. I mean, there's no doubt about this RJ.
Because people are they shit on the Nick. Oh, we didn't pick Garland. Neither did the Hawks. They had Hunter. Well, it was a better fit. Okay, it was a better fit. Sixth, Jared Culver. Seventh was Kobe White. But that was Jackson Hayes, Hashimura.
He's turned into Cam a nice Reddish. Pro, by the way. Like, I will say that. Jackson Hayes has turned into a nice little pro. Not up there, like as a good role player. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had Matisse Thybul. Was he the guy you wanted to pick number three? Kevin Porter Jr.? Like, who? Bol Bol?
Eric now, Pascal? if you remember, Garland was rumored to be picked by the Knicks in that draft at the very end, but they ended up not doing it. I think at that point they were looking at either RJ or Garland, and they ended up with RJ.
Do you remember after the Knicks dropped the third? Did you remember the conversations? It was the top three was clear. Top three was clear, and everybody was mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was new on Twitter back then. I was a lurker on Twitter back then. And I remember people saying when the reports started around the league that maybe we could have drafted Garland, Knicks Twitter was mad. It's RJ. If we don't pick RJ, it's dumb. Now we're dumb for picking RJ. It's expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, we wanted Zion. I still remember that clip on First Take. It was Stephen A. Smith and whoever else was there just screaming because they didn't get the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And the Molly to say, oh, we still got RJ. But we wanted Zion. Zion's the guy we wanted, not RJ. Like, he was I mentioned it on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. He was doomed from the start to fail. Like, there was the fans will, as soon as he didn't average 30 points a game, shit, bust. Live with it.
To kind of rein it back in to the original thing, me personally, I'm not really worried about RJ. I am frustrated about it a little bit, you know, just because,
again,
you know, there are moments where you're like, oh, man, RJ, what are we doing here, right? But all that said, this guy has what you want in the modern NBA. When he's hitting shots, he could hit them at a pretty good rate. He could drive. He's a worker. Like, it's one thing I love about him and Quickly. You know, they're just going to be working until, you know, they're going to outwork everybody. It comes back to, it makes you wonder about, you know, the whole coaching discussion, you know, about, you know, maybe a different coach uses him a little differently. Because, you know, do you remember his comp before it became clear that he was going to be drafted by the Knicks? Like, they said this guy had next James Harden capability.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I remember that. James Harden.
So that means they saw some level of on-ball creation capability, not just swing it out to him on the wing and shoot a corner three. You know, so I do think that's still there. The same way, like, with Cam, you see the potential in Cam. You still see the potential in RJ. I'm personally not worried about him. No. I think he'll figure it out. Again, people are acting like this guy's 35, you know, and it's like, you know, he's still a 22. Young player. Yeah, and just because not every player develops on the same trajectory. Zion is like a supernova. Ja just, like, burst on the scene like crazy. You know, it's – and, again, you look at the other guys in that draft, you know, outside of, like, Tyler Hero, you know, who's really, you know, flown off the screen? Like, where is Jarrett Culver right now? You know, like
– who?
Exactly. You know, it's like DeAndre Hunter is like, he got an extension from the Hawks, but, you know, he hasn't really lived up to the top four billing that he was drafted to. So we just got to be patient with RJ, I think, you know, and let him figure it out a little bit more.
It's the thing. Hunter was drafted to a role to aid Trae Young. So the pressure wasn't as much on him. It's like, it's what I think. It's like Ja Morant's pressure wasn't as on him, it was an RJ because it's the Knicks.
Yeah, because so you're being drafted as the savior. You're like the highest draft pick since Porzingis, you know, and you're being billed as like the guy who's going to bring the Knicks back. Zion is being billed as the guy who's going to he's AD's replacement, but he could fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Ja is going to the smallest market in the NBA. Garland is going to a Cleveland team that has moved on from LeBron for a second time. It's all those situations, massively under the radar. You could also point to that as maybe that's why Coby White hasn't succeeded in Chicago, because it's, you know, a lot of, they've been looking for the next guy there ever since Jordan left and ever since D Rose left, you know. So to me, it goes back to expectations. You know, my expectations for RJ were like, all right, he's going to make the team respectable again, right? That's when he got drafted, that was my thought. And I think that's where they're at. They are a respectable franchise right now. You know, yeah, we're not. It's not where we want them to be. They're mediocre. We understand. But they're also not at the bottom of the barrel like they were just a few years ago. And RJ's a big part of that. Yeah, Brunson's a big part of that. RJ's a big part of that. Randall's a big part of that. You know, as much as people hate to admit that. You know, I had to get my little pro Randall dig in there.
No, but it's true, man. It's true. It's you look at the team, you look at the player, the leaders in points and whatever, it's like Randall's okay. Brunson is 26, Randall 28, RJ 22, Reddish and Quickly are 23, Toppin and Mitchell Robinson are 24. Like Evan Fournier is 30, not playing. Derrick Rose 34, Hartenstein is 24. I thought he was older, by the way.
They're so young.
Artenstein's the same age as Jericho Sims, 24. Mm-hmm. You know who's the same age of RJ Barrett? Quentin Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
RJ's been in the league two more years.
Yep.
So the thing, so he's one of the youngest in the team in the second, right next to Quentin Grimes and Miles McBride. So we're so young. It's, if someone would tell me we would be this young and 500 team, it's not bad. It's not bad. Again, it's the expectations. We made the playoffs. We're the fourth seed.
Look, so if we were playing in a smaller market like Indiana or Portland, and we were saying, hey, we're 9-11 and we have these exciting young players, you know, everybody'd be okay with it. But it's just New York, you know, you got to be great quick, you know, and if you're not great quick, again, I always go back to this is the same fucking fan base that booed Patrick Ewing. That ran Carmelo Anthony out of town. That one year had MVP chance for Julius Randle. The next year was booing him every time he touched the rock. You know, it's hard here, okay? You know, it's not easy in New York. And you know, I think we understand that.
No, it's not.
You know, and I think RJ is we've said this before that RJ is built for New York, you know, where he just has that mental toughness. I think that I still think that's true. And I think that's why he'll be fine. You know, guys that get that rattle under that pressure, they're the ones who don't make it. Porzingis didn't make it for that reason, right? You know, because he couldn't handle the pressure, he couldn't handle the scrutiny, and eventually he just said, fuck this team, let me get the fuck out of here. You know, Carmelo could handle it. You know, that's why he succeeded here for as long as he did. I feel like Amari could handle it, you know, even though we kind of got him with busted knees when he got here. You know, but, yeah. You know what, like, I know a lot of people look at, like, the Amari signing as bad. Amari was, like, one of my favorite Knicks for a long time. Like, I remember
really good.
Yeah, that first half season before the Melo trade, man, it was just the vibes were crazy, and like we were just like just barely over 500, but it was a fun team.
Man, it's normally you see like that a point guard makes the forward or the center better. Like you say, oh Nash, anybody that plays with Nash is great. Like you had half the season where Raymond Felton felt like a great point guard playing against duo with Amari Stoudemire. Raymond Felton, like,
look,
Knicks legend.
I will not have you disrespect Raymond Felton on this podcast, Rafa. I will not have you slander my man,
no,
Raymond
no,
Felton,
no, no.
The second best disrespect. Point guard we've had since Stephon Marbury.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I think that's a good place to stop right now. So let's talk real quick about games coming up this week. So one game on the road, quick trip out here to Detroit to play the Pistons tomorrow night. Then three home games, Bucks, Mavs, and Cavs. All right, Rafa, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. When I say they lose, they win. When I say they win, they lose. So I hope we beat the Pistons. I hope we beat the Mavs. I mean, revenge game against the Cavs?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Didn't the Bucks beat us already? Yeah, revenge games against all of them. Let's go 4-0. No, let's not go 4-0. It will never happen. We won one of the last five. So I'm playing the odds here. We're a 500 team. A bit optimistic, maybe. We'll go 3-1. Look at this. Right. It's just even the odds. We go 3-1. We are a 500 team. It's where what I'm betting in.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 2-2 this week. I feel like we should be able to beat the Pistons, and the Mavericks have been struggling on the road. So I think that's a winnable game as well. Even with you know, Luka coming to the Garden, you know, never know what's gonna happen there. Bucks are just too
damn
good.
They always suck against us.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, we always have to find a way to beat them.
Will Kemba Walker play against us? If he does,
Kemba revenge
no
game. Oh, no. Not the Kemba revenge game.
There you go. Going for 40.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Bucks, I feel like they're just too good. I could see us maybe hanging with the Cavs next Sunday. But, yeah, I'm going to go with 2-2.
By the way, I mentioned bootleg Wade so many times. He's going to fucking destroy us. I'm just
yeah, you are disrespecting Dean Wade, man. It's, you know, I don't know if we got any Cavs fans to listen to the pod, but you know, this is disrespecting this man. This is
no
very
disrespect.
Unfortunate that he's a basketball player with the first name that starts with D and the last name of Wade. It's just very unfortunate.
If you were called bootleg Patrick Ewing, would you be mad? Like, Patrick Ewing is one of the greatest. Like, you're half what he was. Like, come on, man.
That's fair.
I'm not
that's
saying
fair.
You're boot.
Yeah.
There you go. Strike to the safe face a bit.
There you go. All right, guys. That's going to wrap us up for another episode of the pod. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at WWKnicksPodcast, where we tweet during the games and reply to hot takes all over Knicks Twitter. Please make sure, if you enjoy the podcast, to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. So Omar and Rafa, checking out here for another week of Worldwide Knicks. Hopefully next week we'll be back at full strength with Alex. But until then, go Knicks.